We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The dayspring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.
Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, see, the Lord, I will open my word again this morning. I will open my word again. I will send light. I will send light. I will send light. I will bring my word, even my word that heals, even my word that delivers, even my word that has power to set free, even my word that builds, even my word that edifies. I will bring forth my word. I will bring forth my word, my power, my word. I will bring forth power through my word. I will bring forth ability through my word. Oh, I will bring forth my word to you, my word to you. Receive my word with faith. Receive it with faith. Open your heart and receive it with faith. Receive it by open your heart. Open your heart. Open your heart because power is about to come to you. Open your heart. Open your heart because my tool of deliverance is about to come to you. Receive it in full heart of faith. Receive it with full heart of expectation. Receive it with full heart of expectation. Oh, see the Lord, everything you came with. Open your heart. Open your heart. My word is able. My word is able to take it away. My word is able to correct it. My word is able to address it. Just believe. 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 I want you to open your heart and believe. I want you to open your heart and believe. I want you to believe so that my word will not be in vain. Believe. Let it mix with faith in your heart. This morning, see you tomorrow.
It's a priestly garment. It's a back garment. A garment. A gift garment. It's a gift garment. It's a gift garment. It's a gift garment. It's a gift. It's my gift. A gift again. A gift garment. It's a gift garment. It's a money gift. With the money, my gift. I'm in a money gift. I'm in a gift. I'm your Benny, a gift. I bring a new gift. I mean, bring gift. It's a new gift. Every gene me a gift. I give me a priestly garment. I give a priestly apostle garment. It's a priestly apostle garment. It's priest. It's new. It's a gift. See the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And somebody to me.
Open the book to Genesis. Open.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heaven is here. Heaven is here. Heaven is here. For even I've granted you, even I've brought to you, even the tools you need, even for to officiate in this new terrain. For even you need that apostolic garment. You need even that priestly garment with an apostolic wisdom. It's a priestly garment with an apostolic wisdom. Even for to unravel even the puzzle, even the mystery. For it's a new wisdom. Even it's a higher wisdom. For even heaven is calling you. Amen. Even to become the apostle, even the apostle of heavenly things, even to become the apostle, even of things new, even to become the apostle, even of things new, even things of heaven, even an apostle of all things. Oh, heaven. Heaven blessing you, even with a new shoe, for wisdom has been given to teach you how to officiate in this new terrain, even how to up officiate, even how to officiate, even how to walk, even how to walk, even how to walk hearing, even how to walk hearing. For you've come, you've come, you've come, you've come there, you've come there, you've come there, but we have come now. We have come to give you, we have come to give you that mantle and even the authority for to officiate, even for to officiate. We've come to announce it, even we've come to announce it, even we've come to announce it, we've come to announce it, even we've come to announce it, we've come to even announce it again, even we've come to announce it for to strengthen your heart, for even to confirm it again, for you know it, but we've come to confirm it again, that you'll be strong in this grace, that you'll be strong in this grace, and you would even speak according to that, according to the heaven over you. You will speak with authority according to the heaven over you, even according to the heaven over you. For even this garment demands a new level. It demands a new level of submission, even coming under. It demands a new level of coming under, even coming under your head, even coming under that which have been placed over you as the head, even coming under. Is a head on the head. That is the order. Even that is the order. For when he would have subjected all things under him, even he will come under. It's coming under. For him they will give even the thing, even all things would have to come under. That is the order of how to handle even the ministration of glory, even the ministration of all things, even the ministration of all things. That is how they will subject things under you by you coming under. It is the order. For even that sense, even that wisdom, I will show you how. Amen. And you will see how to go about it, said the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Can we all say amen? Amen. Okay, good morning. Today, we want to conclude the teaching on love, the excellent way to walk. I want to appreciate all the pastors that has labored also in this series. I felt I needed to bring a conclusion as we already wrapping up the year and preparing for the Image and Glory Conference. I just thinking about the teaching, I just saw that there is still so much that we have not still touched. I think this is about the 9th week, and there's still so much that we have not touched. So, but I'm just comforted to know that the Lord has just begun with us. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
The Lord gave me a word till end of this year that the dealings of God this year was not just meant for this year alone. That this year, this whole year is like 6 months. You know, God trying to give me understanding of seasons of the Spirit. So many of the things that we began with in terms of teaching, in terms of emphasis, in terms of the demonstration of wisdom for building, there will be a lot of progression into the coming year. So I will not be too surprised if you are to visit some of the things that we have looked at this year in a deeper measure. Can we say amen? Including the teaching on love. So let's see how the Lord will help us. So we have established in this teaching series about the preeminence of love in our walk as believers. And as we said, the word excellence itself means preeminence. Okay, the word preeminence or the word excellent in the Greek means preeminent or to be superior or beyond measure. So meaning that God wants us to come into the more excellent or more superior way. Can we say amen? Which is love. That preeminent in our walk as believers should be love. Love should be preeminent, should be superior, should be beyond measure. Okay, beyond measure. And like we have said, that as believers at heavy level of light or heavy level of truth that we walk in, every level of truth must culminate in love. Can we say amen?
Amen.
From the light of the milk of the word, to the light of the faith of Christ, to the light of the faith of the Son of God, which is the faith in the Father, we must come from one measure of love to the other. So we can actually conclude that the landmark for our journey as believers is a love landmark. We actually journey from love to love. Even though scriptures say faith to faith, but I'm only trying to let you know that faith climaxes in love. What did I say? So your faith walk climaxes in love. Love is the conclusion of faith. Love is the summation of faith. Okay? Love. So faith is always journeying towards his love. Faith always wants to journey to his love, because love is the conclusion of faith. So, and that's why New Testament faith worketh by love. So it's almost as if faith is handicapped without love. Or faith is not complete without love. Okay? Faith, which worketh by love. So the energy of faith is love. The engine of faith is love. What drives faith should be love. What sums up faith should be love. So the description of your journey should be love. The motivation for your action should be love. And that's why when you understand this, there are many things that you will refrain from. When you read something, you don't find love ethics there. You pull away from it. So it means that love gives you judgment. Judgment as a Christian is supplied when love is being understood. When you understand love, you will have judgment. Can we all say amen? When you are not walking in love, you are foolish. When you don't keep love ethics, you are actually foolish and you are in darkness. But when you are coming into light, you come into greater sight in love. You'll have a lot of wisdom. So this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Look at that. In what? In knowledge and in all judgment. So we are to abound in love. What did I say? What did I say? Now, abounding in love is to become fruitful. So fruitfulness is measured by how you are increasing in love. That's why when Paul was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, he wasn't talking about fruits in terms of plural. He said the fruit of the Spirit. The profiting of spiritual life is love. So every other thing that we see are dimensions of the fruit of love. So joy is the fruit of love. It's an expression of love. Peace is an expression of love. So when you are in love, you are in joy. When you are in love, you are in peace. When you are in love, you have long suffering. I think that word is forbearance. When you are in love, you are gentle. When you are in love, you are good. Yes, love is good. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That's the actual definition of goodness. If somebody is good and it's not the product or the energy of love, then it's not good. It can be nice, but it's not good. And that's why eventually it will fail. That niceness will fail. You now see, many of us are falling to deception of wicked people that were nice, because we are not discerning. That niceness will fail, because at the end, you will now see that you were deceived. Can we say amen? You know, say the serpent deceived Eve. He appeared to her as being nice, with a philosophical suggestion. But eventually, Eve will have felt deceived by the serpent eventually. Ojumashi. Eventually, not found out that you were lied to. So love is good. Because love will always make you keep God's commandment. See, you understand what I'm talking about? The goodness of love is that it keeps you in alignment with the standards of God's will. Anything that takes you off course is not love. So love is good. Love has faith. So you can see, faith is an expression of love. So inside love is faith. Inside love is goodness. Inside love is gentleness. Inside love is meekness. So when somebody is meek, is a lover. Because we don't read these things as love. Inside love is long-suffering. So those are calibrations of love or capacity of love. Inside love is peace. When you're a lover, you're always at peace. When you're a lover, you're always at joy. Can we all say amen? So the excellent way is love. Can we say amen? And we need to understand that. So that's why, as believers, we should be motivated and geared towards perfecting the love of God. We must be geared towards perfecting the love of God. That is the summation of our journey as believers on earth, is to perfect the love of God. Okay? And you don't perfect the love of God until you journey to the what? End of faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of faith, even the salvation of our soul. So the end of faith that Peter describes as the salvation of your soul is actually the perfection of the
love of God. So salvation of the soul is actually perfecting love. Can we say amen? If a soul that has not been perfected in love cannot be saved. A saved soul is a lost soul. A saved soul is a lost soul. So, salvation of the soul is
of God. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Can we say amen? Take me to the place where we're talking about perfecting the love of God. No man has seen God. Dead. In us. So this is the intentionality of joining the excellent way. It is to come into the perfection of love, which is the perfection of God's nature. Can we say amen? So there is salvation of the soul is not exclusive to love. A soul that is not mastering love work cannot be saved. Believe me. A soul that is not mastering love work cannot be saved. So the strength of our work of faith is demonstrated in how we gain mastery of love and how we become vessels of God's love. For God is love. The strength of our faith is measured in how we gain mastery of love. Because God wants us to be vessels of love. For God is love. Can we all say amen? He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. So many things you do, when you don't see love inside, you know that it's not God. I know that many Christians have not been taught well what love is. So many of our actions are not love actions. I'm telling you. They are not motivated by the Spirit. Anything that, of course, that is motivated from the Spirit, how you can judge, it will be born out of love. One thing is that love does not work ill towards his neighbor. So whatever action I'm doing, if it's going to work ill, it's not God. No matter how good it looks, let me hear a voice can say, my son, my son. When I look at the ethics, I say that it's breaking love codes. I know it's not God. You know, many a times Satan wants to. I have had genuine prophetic experiences and I've had fake ones. Yes, I've had fake prophetic experiences. And that's why you don't judge. Not I don't believe in dreams and visions, I do. But the only thing is that word and love is my standard. I've had genuine prophetic experiences. I've had ones that, if you know what they call deep fake, you know, this is the word of AI. You know what they call deep fake? Oh, some of you don't know deep fake. Deep fake is a new reality of AI. It's going to change, it's already changing the world. It means, Pastor CG, they can frame you and it will look real. You're framing your voice, frame everything about you. So if they want to frame you, they will just, they can frame your voice. They can say you did something that you did not do. Yes, And they can arrest you for it. That's the word of here. Amen. So there's something called deepfake. So there is also spiritual experience that is deepfake. And you will not know if you are not mature in love. I had one. And I see the enemy wanted to attack my heart concerning doctrine. Satan knew that I love that person. And, you know, I released the person, but maybe I've not completely released the person. So I had a vision that I saw the person was still living somewhere on planet Earth. It was a real experience. I woke up, I said, this is not Bible. I said, no. This brother has gone to be with the Lord. He is not Akudaya. I was shocked that at this stage, how can the enemy bring that kind of thing? It was just that anytime the enemy sees a loophole in your soul, it can bring a deep fake.
Yeah.
All of us have loopholes. We have lust. We have ambition. We have things that have not been dealt with by God. As long as they are large, you can always have a deep fake. A deep fake spiritual experience. So what will keep you is love. Love for God's word. Like, I love God's word more than an experience.
Amen.
So if I judge any experience from God's word, I scrutinize it by word. Then I scrutinize it by love. The character, if it's not consistent with love nature, it's not God. Love worketh no heel towards his neighbor. Can we say amen? So anything that God will do, God will not destroy somebody else's thing.
Yes, sir.
So you understand what I'm saying? You are in a school. You wanted to start your school and then you now destroy the person's school you are because you wanted to, God told you to start your own school. No matter the vision you saw, that's not God.
Yes, sir.
God is not going to spoil that school because he wants to start your own school. So you see many things that we have done in the church? A lot of things that we have done has no love ethics there. Can we say amen? You're interested in a sister and your brother is interested. You discover your brother was interested also. Will you rather now start taka? The Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to you about that sister. Then you now discover that the Lord also spoke to your brother. So what do you do? If you are not a love person, you are going to break ethics. When I wanted to, God told me about my wife. Apparently, there was another brother coming from UI that was also interested in her. So then I shared with my friends that God had told me about this sister. For me, I was slow. I was waiting for the right time. Meanwhile, there was another brother from UI that was coming to Ogunwosho then. I was getting close to her. So my friend told me that, see, guy, they're going to take this sister from you. This one that you have received is that you are just waiting for everything to be perfect. I said, if she's my own, I will have her. And I said, at a time in prayer, I released her. I said, God, if she's good for me, she's also good for my brother. So I didn't know now. I know further that that's faith and that's love.
Yes.
I loved her and I wanted her. But I didn't mind to let her go. I would rather let her go than fight my brother. Shall you understand spiritual principles? A lot of Christians will fight in the name of the will of God. The will of God does not fight. Can we say amen? You know, for you as your pastor, you know, I teach you those principles. Come and meet me about a sister. If there's a brother that has come before and I say, go and wait. If I sometimes I say, forget about it. For some of you, it did not land well on your soul. So you want to be tackling with your brother, any? So when you understand love, it will help you do many, many. It will help you against all kinds of odds. Once you have ambition, you have problem. Once you are covetous, you have problem. And those are the things that love work is going to train you. When you are walking in love, you begin to die to a lot of things. Can we say amen? Yeah, I'm not getting your response. Can we all say amen? So love worketh no heel to his neighbor. That is one of the characteristics of love. Now, God can call me to do something, but whatever I'm doing for God, as much as possible, it will not. It will not work ill towards anybody. It will be in peace. All these things are interpreted spiritual principles. There was a guy that wanted to leave his church one time, but he was the only drummer, and he liked this. So I said, no, stay in your church. I said, you can come and be playing drums for us. He wanted to leave that time. He said, I like church. Maybe as at that time, was showing a lot of interest. I said, are you the only drummer? He said, yes. I said, you can't leave. I said, stay. Because even though the City Gate Church can be a New Testament church, but you are not supposed to spoil other churches to grow this church. I said, no, stay there until you are released. Same thing with the brother. It was Sean that is serving now. He was their keyboardist for years. And his heart had moved. So he was coming for midweek service. But he was their keyboardist. So he wanted to leave. I said, don't leave. He stayed there, suffered. And still stayed there and served until he was released. Before he was released, he raised another keyboardist. I said, don't go yet. I said, that's not things are done. Same thing with Pastor Friday. I said, you can't leave until there's the right time. So when you are like that, for instance, you can still go back and greet your pastor. I've made mistakes too, and I've learned. Your former pastor became a bishop and you went to greet him, and he did not send you away. He was happy to see you. If we do not apply that wisdom, we'll have shut the door. You know that tomorrow he can open the door for this message. You know, there are many things that you do that you don't, if it's not love governing it, you're going to break a lot of ethics. I don't know if I'm making, I just felt I should, are you getting the sense? Love does not work heel towards his neighbor. When you love, you not take advantage of your brother. When you are living in brethren's house, you take care of it as yours. It's part of love. If I love you, I will protect you. And I'll protect everything that you have. I will not use your property like it's not my own. Part of love is how you manage your tenant house. It's also love. You are considering that your landlord that has it will not come and see that property and his heart will break. So if love governs us as believers, the world will see a new conversation. You know, I've never seen, and these are things, maybe once in a while, we need to give some testimonies. Our former property when we were in Iworod, I remember when we got to that place, I was shocked that God led us there because it was not a fine property. But I think God wanted to prove a point, and it was a lesson in the leading of the Spirit. We're looking for property. When we saw the property, when I got there, the Lord said, this is the place. It was not a fine place, but I respond to the voice of God. So we got there, and we had to use our money to transform a lot of things. Remember, we walked on the well. We did everything on the way, cleared the compound. You know, did a lot of things that normally tenants does not do. And a lot of renovations we did with our money. Brought a lot of change in that place. So by the time we were leaving, you know what? The landlord did not want to release us. Pastor Friday is here. He said, if everybody was like that, your pastor. He said, God will bless him. He was a Muslim. He was praying for me. When he was 2 years after, he called me and said, Pastor, have you forgotten me? He said he was willing to sell the property. You see that whole property? If we had the money, we would have bought it. So you can treat your tenant house well and your landlord will sell it to you. He can even give you a concession. Pay over 5 years. So the way you have treated this property, You are supposed to have it. Oh, yeah. Hello, Emerson, you're dead here. Hello, Lenny. 5 million, Lenny. So 5 million, yeah. Mafuini, another 5 years. Okay, so 10 million. And then my son, dear, more rent. Who told you God cannot do that? Because love. Many of us don't see that love profits. Walking in love profits.
The way you are serving your boss right now, is that the way you want them to serve if you have your business? Ask yourself. Your attitude towards your work, is that the same way? If somebody working under you should have that attitude, will that work succeed? No, you know, I just want you to think about it. Because many Christians are selfish. And love is not the reason, it's not the motivation for what they are doing. If love is your motivation, you cannot be a lazy worker. You'll be diligent. Eh? You will work hard. I remember I learned that when I did my IT. I did my IT in Berger Paints. So when I got there, I got there with a heart to serve. But by the time I got there, I saw a lot of Christians. The way I was serving and working, some people were telling me that you're a mugu. Christians, though, that you're a mugu. If you are like this, they will use you. Of course, that was the truth. When you want to do your work well, the ogas will call you to do extra work. So many times, I used to do overtime. If I had meetings, I would have begged them, they would let me go. But I used to do overtime. I remember I did a lot of overtime. After closing hours, I can be working 1 hour inside the lab. I worked in the lab as a chemist. I'll be doing analysis. I worked in marine department. We're doing paint for ships. And they are always heavy coated paint. So when I started that work, I went, you know me now, corporate. Tie, shirt, and all that. When I went first, the people were laughing at me. They said, this is your clothes will spoil very soon. And it was true. So I had to start adapting. I had to adapt a lot. So much work. I work and work and work and work and work. How much was I earning? 3,000 naira. That was in 2003 or so. So then one day, because I now noticed a lot of Christians there, and I felt that, what's my own? Am I the owner of the organization? I'm just an IT student. Most IT students, they used to, sometimes they'll not come to work, they'll try to frame something. So me too, I frame something. You know? So I think I didn't come go to work for 2 days. Then I resumed the third day. One of our guys and the HODs, she was a pastor's wife in Redeem. She called me and she said, as if she knew that I faked it. You know, you do some things, you think it's Ojello Abi. He said that I have watched you. He said, your path is different. He said, don't compare yourself with these other Christians. He said, the day you do what you do, you enter into their trouble. The trouble that you have never thought of. He said, make sure you keep doing the right thing. God has a plan for you. I was afraid. So it means that God watches our attitude at workplace. Believe me, I was afraid. I never saw it that way. God watches how you work. So it's love that will make you serve your boss well without thinking of physical remuneration as your reward. You will know that God is a rewarder. So love worketh no heel to his neighbor. Love worketh no heel to his neighbor. If you are hoeing, you will rather beg than bone. If you are owing rent of security in your neighborhood, you will not bone, you will beg. Love does not work ill to his neighbor. Can we say amen? Yeah. Oh, people are not talking. Yeah. If you don't pay that money, how would they pay the security? Have you ever thought of that? Now you say, I don't have. But if you don't have, you rather beg and believe God. Because you see, love and faith work together. A whole lot of things we do. I don't know if I'm making some sense. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Okay? I believe all these love are even Christ's love. Because, amen. Christ's love. Because like the law of Moses, it was supposed to produce Christ. That's all. That was the purpose of that law. Of course, it failed because of sin nature. But that's why it says that love is the fulfilling of the law. So when you are walking in love, you have fulfilled the law. You see, all those things that they wrote to the children of Israel. If you are walking in love of Christ, you have fulfilled it. You are a fulfillment of that law. Because what the law wants to produce is a love soul. What 1 Corinthians 13 calls charity. So some of us are just abusing, that used to abuse the Old Testament. We are not really better than the saints there in terms of demonstration of lifestyle. We're only just the law was just merciful to bring in a better covenant. But when they're going to measure us with many of them, we don't stand them. That's just the truth. Until we come to Christ. So when you come to Christ's conversation, you are beat saints under the Old Testament. Under the law. Because the purpose of the law, that's what Paul said in Romans chapter. He says, the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit is actually walking in love. Amen. What did I say walking in the Spirit is? You're not answering me, or walking in love. Now, let's take it further. Fundamental to love walk are two things, forgiveness and forbearance. Fundamental to love are two things, forgiveness and forbearance. The word forgiveness is from the Greek word called apiemi, which means to let go or to leave behind. So when you cannot leave behind or let go, it's a love sick. It's a love deficiency. Let me say that again. When you cannot let go, it's a love deficiency. Apiemi, let go. Let go without a feeling of a loss. What did I say? Come on, I'm not hearing you. Let go. Leave behind. Looking back, I was just thanking the Lord of how he helped me walk. Because, you know, at times, you would do some things understanding did not really done at that time. I'm just going to say, okay, so this thing was actually love. Many things I've let go. I didn't know it was love. You know, many times I said, now tell me I'm stupid. So I didn't know I was walking in love. I would rather let go than create a fight on what is mine. Yeah. I didn't know that, you know, not fighting for my rights was actually love. So fundamental to love is forgiveness and forbearance. Those two, and I want us to understand it, very fundamental. Forgiveness is the act, is the giving of God's life, power, and love to people that offend or sin against us. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is actually giving. It's the giving of God's life, power, and love to people that offend or sin against us. Let's see Matthew 18 from verse 21. Now, for you to walk in forgiveness consistently, because some of us, what we do is that once in a while, you know, you forgive as you deem fit. But for you to consistently walk in forgiveness, you need an exercise of faith and love. Number one, you have to believe in forgiveness. I notice that many Christians don't believe in forgiveness. It is taught as information, but they don't understand it. So they forgive as the Spirit leads them. In quote and unquote. Because I don't understand. So what you don't understand, you don't have faith for. So you need faith to walk in forgiveness. And of course, you need love. Can we say amen? Amen. You need to constantly exercise yourself in faith. You need to constantly exercise yourself in faith and love to walk in forgiveness and forbearance, both of them. They actually go together anyway. And I will explain forbearance in a bit. But let's see. Matthew 18 from verse 25. And then Peter said to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till 7 times. Okay. Then Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but what? 70 times 7. That is actually perfection of Jubilee. Sabbatical cycles. Okay. It is for them, they understand what it means. It's like a continual cycle of forgiveness. That's what Jesus was saying. Peter said 7. Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. You know, it was in the Sabbath that you release. There's something called Shemitah. You know, I think I've thought about it. You just, I mean, during the Sabbath that, you know, there's a sabbatical year that you release. That time, even slaves are always looking forward to be released by their master. During the sabbatical time is when, even when you are away, once you enter that year, Otijelo. So once I don't pay you before that time, a lot of people can hold and just when it's closer to that year, they keep stretching it. Once he enters that year like this, it's a year of release. You have to let go. So Jesus was letting them understand that when it comes to your brother, it has to be a perfected letting go. It's a perfected circle of letting go. Can we all say amen? So like I said, you have to exercise yourself both in faith and love consistently to walk in forgiveness and forbearance. Forgiveness is being completely free. I want you to mark that. It's being completely free from the pain or hurt from an offender. It's to be completely free. Stress on completely free. From the pain or hurt from an offender. With sufficient grace to relate without being conscious of what was committed. With sufficient grace to relate, if need be. Okay? It's not everybody that you forgive that you may have opportunity of getting close to. And I'm going to teach you how that comes into place. But anytime you meet that person, you are not conscious of what was committed. Because God has healed you. And you have moved beyond it. You have let go. To let go is that you have really let go. Or you have left it behind. It means that forgiveness is to keep journeying. The problem with unforgiveness is that unforgiveness locks you in the prisons of people's shortcomings. So you are in their prison based on their own weakness. So unforgiveness just locks you in a prison. The prison that you are allowed to imprison you. That's just the issue. So like I said, forgiveness is being completely free from the pain or hurt from an offender. One of the most unjust things to do is to take somebody up without the person knowing. Maybe somebody has offended you and the person has no clue. And then you are already fighting the person. That's terrible. Because number one, it may be a misconception. It may be a misinterpretation. I know that some people are not even ready to let light shine on a thing because they like unforgiveness. A lot of people prefer unforgiveness than to be free. Because I think that why should you permutate something to hold somebody? You just permutate based on what you heard. Remember I taught you when I taught you about overcoming offense? What you heard, what you perceive somebody said? What you perceive, you know, all kinds of concocted ideologies. And then you now, because of that, hold somebody and put him in prison. Sir, you are more wicked than Abacha. Because it is an all, you see, one of the things that love will help you do, love will teach you how to easily excuse. I've learned to easily excuse things I don't have perfect knowledge about. So I just excuse, it may not be true. And I forget, I move on. Rather than dwelling in it, and then what you call prophetic is actually suspicion. So you pick a lot of references. That the way the person greeted me, the reason this person said, most likely. I say a lot of people enter into trouble. When you are walking in the spirit, you don't have time for all those things. How can you build a philosophy around unproved things? Now, if you want to be sure, then the Bible says prove all things. Hold fast to what is good. Part of proving is to open up. I say, this is what is happening. This is what I heard. If you're not ready for that, then move on. And I don't allow that thing to ever affect the way you relate to that person. If not, you'll be under the prison that you and Satan built together. If Satan is the one that gave you material, then you are the one that did the building. He gave you the architectural plan that you were building. He gave you the key and you entered and you locked yourself. You locked yourself. You built a prison that gave you He gave you the archi plan for it. And then you lock yourself inside that prison and you throw the key away. Now, let's see forbearance. Forbearance is the word anekomai. It means to hold up, to be erect, to be firm, or to endure. It means to hold up, to be erect, to be firm, to endure. Like I said, forgiveness and forbearance, they go hand in hand. If you're going to have a good Christian walk, you must master these two things. You must know how to forgive and forbear. If not, you will always have problem with bitterness, unforgiveness, envy, and all kinds of issues. Strife. You always have problem with strife. You can't walk in peace. How you know that you have unforgiveness that you cannot easily bless someone from your heart? If it's not flowing from here, then you have issues. Even if it's someone that's hurt you, if you have been healed, you bless the person because, you know, love does not work heal towards his neighbor, including the neighbor that offended you. You don't think of heal for the person. Anytime you think of heal, then you know that heart is not free of unforgiveness. Immediately you repent of that sin of unforgiveness. You repent of that bitterness because you're supposed to be a vessel of mercy. Oh, you're not following me. What did I say you are supposed to be? Be a vessel of mercy. So if something is not flowing from here, then you know that I have bitterness. The problem with bitterness is that it's going to kill you spiritually. And it can even kill you physically. Not just only spiritually, even physically. Bitterness can kill you, even physically. I'm always afraid of those things. I try as much as possible not to have bitter because I know that Satan hates me before. So if I'm bitter, I can only walk Pamiloju Orusa, Ketoji. So I don't even, I quickly want to let people go. Either explanation, because it's not everybody that you can have explanation. If your life is dependent on explanation, you are in soup. How many people do you have to explain? People will have their different issues. How many people will have sit down begin? Hey, so, you know what you do that time? Sir, you will never grow. So one of the things I do regularly from my own experience, I excuse people. I easily excuse people. If you cannot excuse your spouse, you always have a problem with your spouse. She's just tired, that's all. It's not a good week for her. You even have pity and compassion. You can understand. A lot of women that have problems with their husband, they don't know. The guy is going through a lot. It's not being romantic anymore. Are you a romancer? Can you not live without romance? Like the way some people think about romance, it's almost as if it's not showing me he loves me. You have problem because self-esteem is what is you are lacking self-esteem somewhere. Has he shown it before? Yes, he's not showing it now. Was your life dependent on something being shown to you? Are you a showy? Those are issues that some women can take their husband to the court justice system of heaven. But yeah, most men at times, when they're under pressure, they fall short of many things. The guy wants to pay rent, wants to pay school fees, he's thinking of many things at the same time. Things are hitting him left, right, and center. Your own issue is that he did not tell me, I love you. That's your problem. And it's not a small problem. It's a big one. A big one that can open the door of your home to Satan. Can we say amen? I have to appreciate my wife. You know, this morning when I was thanking God, I woke up with gratitude of her. I said, I was counting one of my blessings, my wife, because it's not every time I show her love. I won't lie. It's the truth that I'm fighting Ibadan spirit. Terrible, wicked spirit. At times, there are spirits that wants to run me mad. I'm telling you. If you know the kind of devils that we are fighting just to make sure the word comes to you. At times, you know, as if I want to run mad, evil spirit. So, somebody that wants to run mad, he doesn't even have time to say, I love you at times, to his wife. But thank God that she's also a warrior. So we understand, we have warrior language. You know what I'm talking about? Show up, but it's on, and we are okay. Thank God she's like that. I'll have been in soup. She too, she had to outgrow it. She had to become a warrior fast. So I no smess, man. I just had to thank her. I thank God for this woman. Of course, I've gotten better, but I just look at, you know, those pioneering days when we just started to walk, my mind was just thinking of one thing. My wife would tell you that I don't know anything more than body. My comedy is boarding. Sheer boarding, Nisa. And it's not like I'm doing it deliberately. Oh. It's not deliberately. But that's also, that is what is here. Even me, I don't have time for myself. I don't think of myself. I don't think of vacation for myself. I've not done vacation before. It's not like I don't want to do, because this is here for me. When I travel abroad, no vacation. So I was preaching back to back. Every day. And she did not complain. She was going with me to meeting every day. She was not complaining. She was not saying, tell Lord, become. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Let me continue. Forbearance is to endure someone's inadequacies, shortcomings, and flaws. Forbearance is that I have estimated Pastor Friday, and I look at him and said, I will forbear him. I have estimated him that he's not perfect. I estimate him with his frailties, with his weakness and shortcomings, and I choose to forbear him. You know, that is actually what we do in marriage, but we don't do it with our brethren. Is what you do in marriage. If you can keep a marriage well, running for 20 years, you must have mastered how to forbear each other. If not, you'll have torn the marriage apart. I mean, there are some mistakes I've been making for this. We are moving to our 17th year of marriage. Consistently for 17 years. I've not changed. I'm not planning to change. But my wife has had to, because you see, if she keeps fighting on that thing, because I'm not planning to change. I'm not even sure that even me, I will change. Not like I don't want to change because I'm believing the Lord, but I don't do this thing. Part of it is that maybe I don't take it serious. Like she's taking it, but she has also learned to make light of it. If you are not like that. So you know what forbearance is? Let me just forbear this person. Some people poo-poo, flushing, causes fights. You say the husband does not flush, then keep flushing it. Is there a problem with that? Yes. Is there a problem with that? Part of helping, you should know how to flush. Never say anything yet. There are some things I have not learned, and I'm telling you. Was it 2 weeks ago? Myself and my wife were on the bed, so we're now just saying, I'm playing. She now said, we don't fight anymore. That's what she was there. I said, I tell you what, doesn't be fighting. Are there no issues to fight? No, it's just that we grow over them. We have to grow over them. That's forbearance. Forbearance is that you master somebody's frailty and you make up your mind that you forbear the person, either the person changes or not. Of course, you believe that the person will change. But even if the person does not change, that's why the Bible says charity bears all things. It can bear. It has the ability to bear the infirmity of the another person. Particularly if it's somebody that you have to walk with for a long time. How do you cope? Amen. If you're going to be with your pastor, you have to bear your pastor also. Glory to God. So that's forbearance, okay? Of course, you are believing the person will change, but you can forbear. It's the test of the strength of your love. The ability to forgive Let go and forbear. Huh? Forbearance doesn't mean we don't correct or we don't confront. When we, you know, we have talked about correction already. But it just means that you can keep bearing the person while not being irritated while you are bearing the person. So when I'm bearing you, I'm not irritated. You know, some of you, some of us cannot stand people's infirmities. You are not irritated because love is not easily irritated. Love is not easily provoked. So when you are easily provoked by somebody's weakness, know that your love is still small. Part of it is you are provoked with people's immaturity. You know, I told you that I always don't like pastors that use immaturity of church to make mercy. I don't like it. What is this thing happening in church? They are dancing shaku in the house of God. That's not message. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that our problem in church is that we have too many children. You know, see, if you know the way children think, if you understand natural children, you understand spiritual children. We have a lot of spiritual children in church. They don't know the difference between spiritual things and non-spiritual things. So the guy is shaku shaku, knows to dance before. So what do you think he will dance in the house of God? Shaku shaku don't know my joke. Many things that we do is because spiritual judgment is low. The problem I have with that preaching is that as long as you stay on that preaching, what's the solution? The solution is that grow them up. Simple. A lot of people will change if they know the right thing to feed on. We're not feeding them well. That's why they are like that. And feeding people is not criticizing what they are doing wrong. That's not. How are you helping them? They don't know what is wrong. So you can build a ministry. A ministry can be famous around that. When they see you art preacher, you don't laugh too much. Souls are perishing. Some people are joking in the house of God. So you just have a church of people that are stiff, but they are not real. So forbearance is that you can forbear people. How do you think God is coping with all of us? God will have consumed us since. Is God. So one of the major work God is doing is to give his church more understanding. So grow them above their infirmities. It is now when you now have so much of understanding and you are not growing that God can now be angry with you. Yes. If you see scripture, God has shown you enough for you to change and you don't change, then he can now show his other side, which is his severity. We have handled the area of the good, the true side of the goodness and the severity of God. God cannot even show much of the church right now his severity. People will curse God because they don't know it. We have not introduced that dimension of God to them. They cannot understand it. COVID, the last time, you know how many Christians, you know that COVID year, a lot of believers were bitter. You know what I want to tell you? You know, I know you say I'm a prophet of doom. COVID is just mock. What is still coming on the earth? It's just mock. The kind of tribulations that will come on the earth. The church is not ready for it. We don't have understanding sufficient to prepare the church for those times. So this is my point. Forbearance is a character of love. Ability to bear people's infirmity. Even me, I'm testing it with my children. Learning to bear them. Huh? I love them, but at times I also have to bear them. They have to grow up. You know, there are certain times you're expecting so much on them. And the Lord will tell you that, allow them to grow. Allow them to make their mistakes. But as forbearance, you allow people to make their mistakes. Correction is good, but correction should not be overbearing. You should not correct to the point of destroying someone. Yes. Because God's love is forbearing. God's love gives people time to make decisions of changing. God does not force himself on us. So that's why you have to bear people. In your relationship with one another, in your units, in your households, you have to bear brethren. Of course, you know, it's not easy. Some people, their growth is slow, but you still have to bear them. Paul told the church, he said, why are you all to be teachers? You still have someone to teach you the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. That's like yapping them. But no, pelu e na ko le. O se ma bi e won na ni. Omo won na se ni. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I appreciate pastoral ministry. I believe that every minister should do pastoring small. Because pastoral ministry gives you the ability. If you are an evangelist that I have not pastored before, you'll be fire evangelist. You don't have mercy. Thank you. No, Aiken said that it's good to pastor. Even if it's just 1 year. If you pastor for 1 year, you will change. You will change. Because you have children that you cannot throw away. That you have to pack their poo-poo. Pastoral ministry. Somebody that you have invested so much will break your heart. And you cannot throw the person away. You have to say, how do we fix it? That's a pastor. How do we fix it? Meanwhile, an evangelist does not understand that. Or an apostle that does not have church, that he has pastored, he can't understand that. He's just preaching message. After we have preached fiery message, you know at times in church it happens, we have preached series. 20-part series. You know, I'm already feeling through as they move forward. But you now hear some things. Pastor Fred, they will now call me pastor. This one is happening. I say, what? I say, God. The thing we felt, I'll just sit down, readdress my chair, say, I should check my series, man. Show your body. Pastoral ministry. You have to now go back. Then, I thought some people, you call them, you now begin to counsel them like you are begging them. So, brother, trust us. The Lord is your strength. That's a pastor. At times, you want to slap somebody, you can't slap the best. They on the head. You know, it happens to you when you're raising your children. At one point, you have talk. At a point, you just leave them alone. And I said, God, I commit this child. Lord, they let that, sir. I commit this child to your hand. Because there's nothing I can say anymore. Let me just, that's how some flock say, God, you know this brother. I commit this brother in your hand, Lord. You are the chief shepherd. But it's good. It's good. You know, a lot of people that have not attacked churches, let them go and pastor. Yes. Pastoring breaks you. That's what it breaks you. There are some things I can't say anymore because I have experienced it. I say, easy, sir. It's not easy to pastor souls. You'll have to trust God. Yeah. Part of pastoring is that a lot of people will break your heart. You still have to love them. You'll have to serve people that don't love you. You have to serve people at times that use you. And you know they are using you. And you cannot unuse them. Or you cannot delete them. You have to bear them. At times when I talk to the Lord, say it's part of it. That's what I go through. Say you have to go through it. I'm a shepherd. That's all I am to. I say you will never know what it means to be a shepherd if you don't go through that. So forbearance and forgiveness, they go together. And they are the test of love. Okay? Of how we are growing well in love. Can we say amen? So part of forbearance is that you understand people's frailties. You'll have to understand people's frailty. Because of understanding people's frailty, I easily excuse people. People are frail. Remember Psalm 103 says, like a father pitied his children, so the Lord pitied them that fear him. No, there's a place. He knoweth our frame. He remembered that what? We are dust. So the reason why the person is still doing that is that the person is still dust. If the people know more, they won't do that. So you have to show pity. And show mercy. Was it on Tuesday? I did something and the Lord corrected me when I got home. I mean, you know, at one point in the teaching, I knew some people were drawing me back. You know, and I said, what's wrong with you? You know, I spoke out of that. The Lord said, no, don't do that with me. I said, God, we have been at sorrow now. Pull on your shame, mama, for saying. So, but that's where they are. The Lord corrected me. I said, okay, they are your people. I'll be more gentle with them. I will be gentle with them. The Lord is our shepherd. Part of the characteristics of the shepherd is that he will bear our infirmities. So the Lord told me that I should be more gentle with the flock. I said, but we have been on this thing almost throughout this year. Why is it people not getting it? We have done everything for them to understand. The Lord said, bear them. And I understood Moses in the wilderness. That's a Baba shepherd. I was a shepherd. Look at the people he was handling. Now, you listen to me. Then, that's Moses. What about Iye Adeboye? Shemojati Babanja. That's a father. There are many things Adeboye knows that he cannot teach. He's looking at the flock. Can they take it? Apart from the fact that I believe that they are commissioning, it's not for them to say some of these things we say. But notwithstanding, there will know many of them. They look at the flock. They are very quiet. I've heard that Baba has some pastors meeting. Yes, some inner pastors meeting. If you hear what he teaches there, yes, that many of those messages don't go out. It took me years to understand those men and to now appreciate them. When I was younger, I used to fire everybody. But now I understand. Look at Moses. Even at the last point, Moses just got angry. Moses just got angry at the last point and he missed the land. You know, these same people, he fought for them. He interceded for them. When they were about, when God was about destroying them, God, Moses had to appeal to you. You need to know God for you to negotiate with God that way. Eventually, Baba got angry. Baba got angry. Honestly, Baba's anger was justified from my own point of view. Baba, to try, sir. So you now see where we are going. You see the level of accuracy we must come into. We should thank God for Jesus. Can we say amen? Even Hebrews 3 recorded that Moses was faithful in the house. Moses was a faithful man. Now, this is it. Now, let's go back to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 21 to 32. From this scripture, because I don't have time to read it because of time. From this scripture, Matthew 18, 21 to 32, God sees an unforgiving soul as a wicked soul. From this scripture, God sees an unforgiving soul as a wicked soul. When we are consistently adamant about unforgiveness, we'll be given over to tormentors. God sees an unforgiving soul. We know the story about the man that a rich man forgave a servant. Then somebody was now owing that servant something far, far, far lesser. And the guy got angry, changed it for that person. Then the rich man that now, end the story. Now wondered that if I could forgive you this much, what was that? And the Bible says he delivered him to tormentors. So the way God sees unforgiveness, that unforgiveness is actually wickedness before God's eyes. That you have no right to hold somebody. You have no right to hold somebody, no matter what the person has done, considering that you are a beneficiary of God's mercy. If God should hold you, based on the things you have done, you are going nowhere. You're going nowhere. People like us will not be worthy to do ministry if God did not show us mercy. Well, we had mistakes. I made mistakes. A lot of people that God used to even do ministry are people that did terrible mistakes. I used to say, the way we judge people in church today, I used to fear us. You know, Rick Joyner has been attacked so much because of his fatherly art of restoration. Joyner believes that if God can, you can make mistakes and God can still restore you back. None of us will qualify to serve God in any way. Who are you to judge someone because he made a mistake? You know the way that God says, if God is not merciful, someone like David, they will remove him from the Bible. Someone like Paul will never have a stand to serve God's people. He killed Christians. And that thing was part of the humbling factor for Paul. All his life, he never saw himself worthy. David's weakness was one of the things that made him like that. His frame. And God liked him that way. I think your mistakes is part of your making. So, we are supposed to be merciful people. People of mercy. Because you know the frame of people. You can forgive them. Like I said, forgiveness is let go. You really let go. Leave behind. The person said this. They said that. Man is weak. See, somebody can praise you today. I've seen that as a pastor. I won't lie to you. And I'm not angry with anybody. I've learned. Somebody can praise you today and say, ah, daddy has been the best inspiration behind my walk with God. But 5 years' time, you can have a different opinion from that. You holding on that is you are just wasting time. I handle praises and rejection the same way. I let go. I don't hold on to praises and I don't hold on to rejection or slander. There's no point. What will he do for me? Now, if men praise me, does it mean the Lord has approved me? Who am I pleasing? Men or God? So my heart is just redirected. You know, all of us like honor. Go to where you're celebrated. Don't go to where you're tolerated. You are deceiving yourself. You will never know the joy of testing if you truly love. If everywhere you go, they praise you. If everywhere you go there, someone is always praising you. Sir, your love will not be perfected. I am telling you. You want to leave that working place because they are suffering you. Ask God, is it time? Because that can be your greatest school of ministry. You may never learn anything. Some people will leave some work and God will say, you are ready for ministry. They didn't go to any Bible school. Jesus did not go to any Bible school. He went to school of carpentry. I'm sure Jesus did cheer for some people. And he would do it and say, Jesus, you like cheer. I say, okay, sir, what do you want? And he would do another, I don't like this chair. So Jesus will now still learn. Okay, so how do you want your chair, Oga? He will have, maybe Jesus will do some chair 5 times. Some very difficult customers. Jesus will have learned how to endure people. So when you're in a house, and the owner of the house does not always please with you, and you are seeing that they are criticizing me. You are not wise. They are criticizing. They should criticize you well until you are okay. Use it to grow. They taste the egg. It's not sweet. Only you. Learn to mix the salt well. You know, I grew up under a pastor's wife that after you sweep, she'll use her leg. She'll remove her leg. She'll not be walking and between this. Yes, now. And that's how my mom was. But I fought my mom. I didn't allow her to prevail over me. I used to think that my mom was a perfectionist. So I did not really, really enjoy my mom. So by the time I escaped, I didn't know that my mom would be reproducing my pastor's wife. She did exactly that same thing. That's when I knew that God was after me. You know, I told you one time, she said we should be using brush to scrub because it was terrazzo, white and black terrazzo. And I didn't see anybody that day. So I use broom. I had almost finished. She said, go back and do it the way I taught you. I learned a lot from that woman. I learned how to do things well. Eh? I remember one time, there was grass in church. I called somebody to scrape the grass. She now saw, she said, is this what I taught you? That when we cut, we use O. You will hold it from under. Say, you are going to get this job done and you will use your money. I learned how to do things well by force. Go and do ambi and you do it less than pastor standard. You will use your faith to collect it. I know this generation, small day, they don't love me. You will use your faith. You can never bring ambi that is not well printed to pastor. He said, this is lesser than excellence. So you will use your faith. I remember they printed one ambi for me. I said, I cannot take this to my pastor. I cannot take it to my pastor. I have to say, we are that guy. We fought until he reprinted another one. I can't take this to him. So I now appreciate those things. Those things are training. Can we all say amen? You're not answering me. Amen. So unforgiveness clogs your spiritual vessels and stops the flow of life. Unforgiveness is a prison we are allowed to be locked up in. It has been imprisoned by other people's flaws and shortcomings and allowing it to affect our relationship with God and with other people. So because of unforgiveness, you will affect innocent people. Somebody broke your heart. All men are the same. They play. All men are the same. Because somebody broke your heart. So all men are the same. Because one church disappoints you, all pastors are liars. What a conclusion. Somebody saw me one time, and it was, I think, okay, it was my father-in-law was being treated, so I went to the hospital. He was a consultant. He had a problem with pastors. So immediately he asked me, so what are you doing? I said, I'm a clergyman. I deliberately said it. Before, I used to say I'm a business consultant because I know that pastors have issues. So I don't like the identity that I'm a pastor. So, but I said, I'll not deny my calling, sir. So I said, I'm a pastor. I'm not a, pastor, all of you are thief. I said, I'm not a thief. So, he said, oh, no, all churches are. Because so church, man, forgive. I said, no. I said, this church is not like that. I said, I'm not like that. So, okay, what about tithe and offering? I wanted to start him on the issue of tithe. I saw that he was already biased. But I was able to stand with him in love. Later, my wife now said that the guy has shown many people. You know, people that have issues with church, they are ready. When they hear you are pa, before they say stop. But not all pastors are the same. We have our story. You see, you know the very funny thing is that they use a few pastors that are very rich. I say all pastors are rich. So all pastors are duping people. We can't tell you, to me, as Sansan, because most pastors suffer. Go and do your statistics. Do it very well. Let's come and talk. Let me show you some of my wounds. I don't really, if I tell you some of the things I've gone through, you can't even say you want to do pastoral ministry. Rich. What's the richness? How many pastors are rich? How many? Count them. Are they up to 100? Okay, let's say worse. Let's say we have 1 million pastors in Nigeria. Do we have 100 pastors that are really, really rich? It's the few ones that you see that you are saying everybody's like that. Most pastors' children, you know what they go through? How the ministry has affected them? The denials have gone through. I know many pastors' children, they'll tell you that they get to church, they get home at night, hungry. Many times that they have to share money with other children. They have to cut food. I heard a story about the pastor's child that anytime church member visit their house, their daddy will take the remaining food in the kitchen to give them. I mean, all kind of stories. What about pastor's wife? You know, people said that Babalawo's wife was a witch. Why do you think they called her a witch? She was trying to protect her husband. So people, of course, concluded. The guy comes from missionary trip. He's tired. Some of you do it. One time I came to church, I was very tired. Somebody was now asking me questions. You don't even say, many of you are not sensitive. At times we are tired, you don't know. Once we are not happy, you already feel that, what have I done to daddy? A little displeasure for my wife, you feel that she has a problem. Do you know what she's bearing? That is how we think. You are waiting for a superhero that is not even comfortable. How many people remember their pastors regularly? People give to their pastors as they are led. Believe me, forget it. That narrative cannot hold. When we look at that narrative, it cannot hold. Forget it. So we now have, of course, a lot of pastors have had to use brain to solve their problem. So they have to use brain. So it's a few ones that use brain that people are now using. Standard. Some don't have the liver to even do some things. I ask pastors' children if they want to become pastors. The only ones that can say they want to become pastors are the ones that their daddy has blown a ministry. Nobody wants to become pastors. I asked my son, Lubi, say you do pastor. Say, me? No, businessman. Mama Ben's a businessman, sir. Nobody wants to do pastor, sir. Hallelujah. I say, okay. My dad said, okay. So that I have money and buy Jeep for my daddy and Jeep for my mommy. You see, that's how they are thinking. Hallelujah. So unforgiveness is responsible for many unanswered prayers. If you have unanswered prayer in your life, check. Make sure you are not in the prison of unforgiveness. God is not really wicked. Is it that thing is not in the will of God for you? Is it that thing is not yet in time? Or you have problem with unforgiveness? And in most cases, is unforgiveness. Some tinge of bitterness that is still in your heart. And you can't get audience before God. Now, let me now say this. So I've taught you forgiveness, forbearance. Let's look at reconciliation. It is not every person you are forgiving truly from your heart that you may be reconciled to again. And you must understand that. And there are instances, and when it comes to reconciliation and restoration, it has to be monitored with skill, discernment, and wisdom. A lot of people have been foolish and they have entered into the same trap again and again. That's what I've told you before now. There's a difference in faith and trust. Trust is hand. It's different from faith. I have faith in Bright. It's different than I trust Bright. If I say I trust you, it means I know you. And I can vouch for you. You see, many of us, you can't vouch for everybody. It's my friend. I can vouch for you. So you don't know him. You don't really know him. You just have faith in him. You don't know him. Trust is from experiencing someone. I can say, I trust my wife. The reason is because we have known her for years. I mean, I've known my wife since 99. It's been a long relationship. I can say, I know certain things about her. So when I hear, when somebody says this, I say, Lila, she can't do it. I can defend her based on what I know. Now, if she now really does that thing, she has broken my trust. And when trust is broken, trust must be remended. People don't understand it. Even in marriage, we make a lot of assumptions. A lot of people don't know this. Even in marriage, if trust is broken in marriage, that trust must be restored. You can't patch it up. The thing is that it's not supposed to be brought under wise pastors that can help the process of healing. You trust your husband, and then you discover that he's sleeping outside. Believe me, you forgive him, but to trust him is something else. You can't trust him because trust is broken. So that trust has to be remended, built again. And most men don't understand that. Say, my wife has not forgiven me. She has forgiven you. She doesn't trust you anymore because she trusted you and you broke her trust. So we need a two-way thing. We need somebody that will teach her to believe God that the husband will be restored while she has faith in the restoration process. then we need to also hold the man accountable to the restoration process of winning the trust of our wife back. So that's the balance. Some men are very irresponsible. I've heard a lot. Sir, you are the one that defrauded. And you want her to trust. She can't trust you anymore. She trusted you. She defended you. You broke her heart. You need to win that heart back. Of course, with the help of the Lord. And you need, one thing I know, when it comes to reconciliation, you can't handle it alone. You need wise people around you. You need elders around you. Two brothers do a business and they trusted one another, everlasting brethren in the word of righteousness. And one of them swindled the other in a ton of millions. Of course, it is demanded of me to forgive you. I will forgive you. But can they do business back together again? No. If they're going to do business back together again, reconciliation is a process. It has to be supervised. Has this brother changed? Can he still do business and be trusted? Are you getting the point? Can we say amen? Amen. So we must always walk in forgiveness. But however, restoration and reconciliation must be by understanding. It is not every person you are forgiving that will come back into a close relationship with you again. For many reasons. Number one, the people may not have fully repented of that issue. So maybe you had a business dealing and something happened, you broke that business deal. The person asks for forgiveness. You forgive the person. Does not mean the business should continue with the person. God has to speak to you. God has to lead you. There has to be wisdom involved. I know about a brother that, you know, was in a relationship with a particular minister, was part of the ministry team. Then, of course, he broke the ethics of the relationship and all that. Then later, he started was begging. And they forgave him and prayed for him. So, but he wanted more. He wanted to come back to the way he was before. Then I said, that will cost you. Now, are you ready to let go of this thing and this thing that you are doing now? He said, no. I said, you can't be, I mean, we are forgiving you. Okay, we can do fine. He said, no, but so the information in our brother is that they did not forgive me. No, they forgave you. The issue was that there were certain terms that you were not ready to keep. I don't know if you are getting this. Reconciliation is a process. Restoration is a process. Okay? Now, two examples from the Bible. Joseph. Then, you know, Philemon. And when you get home, you can read. For Joseph, you know, one of the things God had to do for Joseph was to make sure he's completely healed of what his brothers did against him. It was painful. They actually sold him out to slavery. They sold him out to slavery. You don't know what that means. Your brother set you up and they sold you up to slavery. And they went to lie to their dad. Your lover boy is gone. So all the journeys that, you know, I'm sure he had forgiven them. He was trying to move on. He got to Egypt as a slave, you know. Then he got to Potiphar's house and life started showing semblance of being good. Okay, God prospered him. He began leading the work and all that. All of a sudden, somebody framed him again. This time, it was his master's wife. And he ran away protecting himself. And then she lied against him. Who would defend him? And he was thrown into jail. You don't know what it means to be thrown into jail for what you did not do. So, all the years he was in jail, God was healing him, his heart completely. God made sure he healed him completely. Even when he tried to minister to people and tried to talk on his behalf, I fear God. He was trying to defend himself. God added 2 years. We know they talk for this order. God has to defend you. You know, it's not easy. You want to talk a little bit. You are being framed for what you did not do. And everybody thinks that you're a liar. You're a cheat. You're an adulterer. Don't you call yourself a man of God? Try to defend yourself a little because they don't talk. Don't say nothing. Of course, people will lose their trust in you because they don't care. Keep serving me. So Joseph tried to do so and God added 2 full years. Full year. When they say full years in Bible, it's not 2 normal years. It's like 20 years. After that, he has been completely broken. All of a sudden, God promoted him and brought him into the palace. Life was good. All of a sudden, he meets these guys again. For me to know that he had forgiven them, I think he had forgiven them. What he wanted to look at is that, can I still be restored with them? So everything you see that he did was a test to know if these people had changed. Yeah. Joseph saw that all his brothers were broken. They were already completely broken people. You know, while he told them that you go and bring their brother, and he wanted to see if they still love each other. Because if you love me, you wouldn't have sold me. So he held one back. He said, go back and bring the other one. I want to know if you are saying the truth. Then after the one came, they did feast. Then he planted a golden cup there. Silver cup there. And later, they now said, when they were now, you know, they were now accused that they had stolen something. They said, no, we did not do anything. If you see anything with us, if I arrest us, we don't steal. We are innocent people. I said, okay. Then I searched the bag. Then I saw it was inside of Benjamin. I think it was Judah. I said, come arrest me. Arrest me. Take me instead. My father will die. He was checking them that, oh, these guys want to change. They are ready to lay down their lives for each other. And Benjamin was his own brother. Given birth by Rachel, you know, it's not easy, polygamous home. So for, you know, Omo Babayat or Omo Ya. So they were ready to lay down their lives for their brother that was not their mother's son. That's when he knew that these guys have changed. He said, okay. He now opened his identity. I am Joseph. So it's not everybody you open your arms to again, but you are forgiving them. A lot of people don't understand. You know, you quickly open your mouth and say, divorce is a sin. Sir, you don't just keep your mouth shut. You don't even know what some people are going through. As a pastor, there are some people that say, don't marry the person again. If he comes out begging, let us be sure he's saying the truth. We have to test and subject that process. If he really wants to be reconciled, let's check the reconciliation process. It's not worth it. You can go to hell if you marry this person. Yes. I know a marriage of a lady married to a man, a minister. By the time I believe it was a wrong marriage, in my own estimation. Because I believe she would have been better off not marrying that person. And of course, she married, I think, against the advice of some people. By the time she was married, I won't tell you the details. She was dying. By the time she was dying, she was bitter. She died bitter. So what's the point? So she, of course, she made the mistake. I said, so you can forgive a man, does not mean you should marry him again. If it's a man that is given to consistent, these are the balance that many people cannot teach. Consistent, you know what I'm saying, but some people, consistent adultery. The guy is not ready to change. He's saying sorry. Sorry is not change. I'm forgiving you. Fine. But for us to come back as man and wife, it has to be monitored by elders. That decision is not for me to take. So when it comes to reconciliation, you cannot handle it alone. You have somebody that defrauded you in millions, and the person said, he has begged you and said, I want to do business with you again. Go and meet your pastors. Let them guide you. Pray over it. It's not everybody that have said they have changed, that they have changed. I don't know if I'm making any sense. Same thing, Philemon. You know, we know the story. Paul had to stand in the gap between Onesimus and Philemon and say, see, this guy has changed. I'm telling you. I can prove him. Take my word for me. If he does anything that he has done, I put it in my account. Paul will not say that. If he has not, he's not sure without any doubt that Onesimus has changed. So that is reconciliation. So what Paul was wanting to do, what Paul wanted to reconcile Onesimus back to Philemon. But Paul had to be sure that Onesimus had what? Changed. Philemon was a Christian. You see the way he had relationship with Paul. Philemon would have forgiven Onesimus. But there was now going to be a restoration back, which is now be to regain back a trust that you once had. Then reconciliation must be in full. We have to allow reconciliation program to fully run its course. So somebody has to be involved. Somebody like Paul. I don't know if I'm making any sense. Some people have done reconciliation by themselves. And they will not see some lines. And they enter into the same dish they once entered. Enter it over and over again. So if you enter into some aunts, you may not survive because you're not yet perfect. If you go through some haunts over and over again, you may not even, you may die before your time. So there's also wisdom. Jesus did not trust the same people, see people the same way. There were things Jesus would tell people. He said, don't tell the others. Because it's not every person that can manage an entrusted relationship. Not because they are bad people. They don't have the capacity to do so. So we must understand reconciliation and restoration. So sorry is not enough for reconciliation. We must bear fruits of repentance and brokenness. We must bear fruits of repentance. And that is what Joseph was looking for in his brothers. Are they changed? Can we come back and hold this thing together again? So So when it comes to brethren restoration or reconciliation, after a major hurt and pain or a broken trust, it must be submitted and accountable to a mature leadership that is able to mediate between the two parties so that we know that there is, on one side, there is thorough repentance and transformation, and on the other side, there is complete healing. For married couples, business partners that have been defrauded, or unloyalty in ministry, that also happens in ministry. So it's not wise to handle the reconciliation process alone. Okay, you need input from other people that can guide you and give you wisdom. Can we say amen? So let me just look at 7 points and then we'll end. Number one, 7 practical principles of walking in forgiveness. You know, this is Bible study. Number one, we must first repent of unforgiveness by acknowledging that we have it and we should confess it. We should see it as darkness and must be willing to change. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. You first repent and you acknowledge that you have it. You confess it. And then you repent from it. Number two, we must receive grace to forgive willingly. And we should do it by faith, even when our emotions don't feel so. A lot of people have come to me and say, Pastor, I've forgiven this person, but it's as if I don't feel like. No, forgiveness is not first emotional. It is first spiritual. You do it by faith. So you might have forgiven someone and you don't feel like you're forgiving it. Does not mean you have not forgiven that person. Okay? Number three, we should believe by faith that we have received it and that the penalty of unforgiveness is being removed from us and that God has forgiven us also. This will help us to take the act committed from our consciousness and God will give us grace to be healed emotionally also. What I mean is that once you have asked God for unforgiveness, you know that ask God for forgiveness of your unforgiving nature. You know that God has taken away the penalty of unforgiveness away from you. So you can also walk with your conscience that I have forgiven. I am okay. I'm no longer held by the guilt that I have not forgiven this brother or I have not forgiven this sister. And I know because I have forgiven, God will also forgive me too. That is Bible. Can we say amen? When you stand praying, forgive. So anytime you are in prayer and you remember that you have not forgiven somebody, right there and then, release that person. You release the person by faith. You make a bold declaration. Father, I release this brother. I release this sister in the name of Jesus. I hold no grudges against them. For I'm a child of love. I walk in love. I believe in love. Love does not walk ill towards his neighbor. So I release this brother in Jesus' name. And then you go on praying. So at times when you have done that, the thoughts may still come. As they come, keep confessing the word. That I've forgiven, I've released. Because I've forgiven and released, I've also been released by God for anything. Because at times, unforgiveness, like I said, is one of the reasons for unanswered prayer. According to 1 Peter chapter 3, I think verse 7, particularly men, if you don't treat your wife well, she can shut down your heavens. And that does not mean she's perfect. So that's why you must learn to deal with your wife with wisdom. If your wife is not happy and she costs you, you are in soup. Yes, so I need to tell guys this. You think you are Ed, sir? You will be limited. You better know how to lead, handle her with wisdom. So that she does not open the door to Satan. It's not like she's doing well. She's just bitter. Once she's bitter, Satan begins to accuse you before God. Satan said that, see, Arakuni Ebodo, bless your brukuni. That's Satan now. Look at how he's treating the wife. The wife is not happy. So because of your wife, Satan can accuse you before God. So you have to learn. That's why the Bible says you should treat women with what? Oh no, you're not talking. You should treat them with what? According to knowledge. You must have what? You must be wise as a man. So that your heavens will not be shut. Sir, I cannot survive God not answering my prayer. I'm in soup. If my heavens are shut, I live on faith economy. I don't know about you, sir. Everything I've ever achieved in my life was God that gave me. You like Barry Concursor. I don't know anything. I don't know book. I don't know anything. Only God I know. If God say I no do again, I'm in soup. So I cannot afford anybody to hold me down. I would rather walk in forgiveness. I don't know if you are following me. Number four, be in constant thanksgiving and praise to the Lord, who has commanded us to walk in love, mercy, and forgiveness. Be in constant thanksgiving. Always make sure that you're always in thanksgiving all the time. Don't allow what anybody did to you to limit you from not being happy or be joyous before God. Anytime people offend you, it is an opportunity to become more like Christ. It is a blessing to be offended at. Yes, because you will never know what it means to walk in love or to forgive people if nobody ever hurts you. So when people hurt you, first give God thanks. Because you are experiencing what Jesus experienced. It means you are going to become like Jesus Christ. So instead of complaining, give God thanks. Give God praise. You are being rejected, thank God. If you are not rejected, you will never know the love of God. If you have never been rejected, you never know the grace of God. You never know the favor of God. You never know how God can be good to you. And after God has blessed you, don't go and tell those people, see me, oh, God don't show me. No, you don't need. When you are rejected, you feel you have been rejected in a place, love them more. Because your blessing is not tied to nobody. The day God is ready to lift you up, he does not announce to people. He just comes to meet you and lifts you up. God does not have explanation to anybody. He doesn't owe any man explanation. That's why I don't attack ministers. A minister, God can lift him up. And you are attacking him because he has infirmities. God no lift him up, sir. Me, I don't want problem with God. People went to me to Edipo there. He should sign a document against one minister. He says it's not signing. He says it's not signing. I'm not doing those kind of things. The reason he's saying that, I understand. He's saying that, see, if it's God that raised this man, even though he has weakness, if I stand against him, I'm standing against God. Fighting somebody that God has blessed is a waste of time. Having issues with somebody that God has blessed is a waste of time. You'll be seeing the person's weakness, koro koro, God will be blessing the person more. You're just wasting your time. You're just wasting your time. Are you God? Justice is not in your hand. You are telling God that the reason that God should not bless that person because the person has infirmities. God does not bless people because they are okay. He blesses them to be okay. At times, God will show mercy to you so that you will just change. At times, when you think that it's because the things you enjoy is not because you are right too. At times you may be doing something bad and God is blessing you more. He's just trying to make you change. That's his nature. The way God works is different. Number five, stand firm in faith, in forgiveness. Don't shift your ground. Never shift your ground from forgiveness. In cases of feeling of hurt and pain, declare by faith that you are forgiving the offender. And also that you too have been forgiven from the Lord in cases of feeling of guilt and condemnation. I know at times you are forgiving somebody, you still feel guilty. Eh? As long as you have truly forgiven from your heart, then you are free from the feeling of guilt. I'm not guilty anymore. I've forgiven this person. God knows I've forgiven this person. Eh? At times the enemy will come to your heart. You have not forgiven this person. You're a wicked person, but I've forgiven this person. That is why when you forgive somebody, make sure you pray for that person regularly for a season. Pray. Mention their name. Bless them. Bless their children. Bless their wife. Bless everything that God has committed to their hands. You see, there's nobody that does not want his children to do well. There's nobody. So if somebody hurts you, pray for them. Bless their children. That is how you know that the thing is coming from your heart. Because at times, unforgiveness can even extend to the next generation. Yes. If you have issues with me, you start having issues with my children. They did nothing to you. You extend years. People extend unforgiveness. It may not even be my children. It may be anybody around me. Because you have a problem with me, you have a problem with anybody that is my friend. So that's why when you are walking in forgiveness, you have to bless the person and bless things around the person. I put a blessing on their business. I put a blessing on their children. I bless what they are doing. I declare that it will not fail. It will prosper. When you are doing like that, you are showing that you have been what? Eh? You have been what? Released from the consequences of unforgiveness. Number 6, confess your faults with your brethren and your pastors and receive healing, comfort, ministry, strength, and forgiveness. James chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. At times you can meet your brethren and say, I'm feeling this towards my brother. I forgive him, but this is how I'm feeling. The person will just pray for you and say, no, well, I'm praying in tongues, just minister to you. After that moment, you'll feel better. Nobody should stay in unforgiveness. It is poison. Bitterness is poison. Number 7, last but not the least. Keep always an atmosphere of love and joy. Keep atmosphere. You see, you have to learn this. Guard your heavens jealously. Guard your heart jealously. Guard the thoughts that goes through your mind jealously. Make sure that in a day, unforgiving bitter thoughts don't go through your heart. When you sense it, arrest it. Arrest it. Be aggressive against it. My mind is not the devil's playground. To be putting thoughts of bitterness and unforgiveness, I have too many things to do than to be thinking and having ill will towards people. So when every day, make sure that you keep the atmosphere of love and joy and meditation of the word of God and even in your thoughts. Make sure that your thoughts are good thoughts. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, they are pure thoughts. They are peaceable thoughts. When you trap a thought of unforgiveness, attack it. Attack it with the word of God. Attack it with faith. Don't allow it to stay. Don't allow it to land. Don't allow it to survive a day. Clean your system immediately by confessing the word, asking for forgiveness. And say, God, I have life in the name of Jesus. Because I have life, I have love. I have love in the name of Jesus. Because I have love, I hold not unto bitterness and unforgiveness. You know, and that's how you gradually would start having authority until a time will come. You don't have a feeling. Let me tell you this. You can walk daily for years without walking in unforgiveness. At times, people will offend you, you will not even know. And they come back and I did not know. And it's not like you are acting. I know these things work. I believe the Lord is empowering us. Amen. Have you learned anything? Can we pray? Let us pray. Can we begin to pray? Let us talk to God.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.